A whole group of state and federal officials flew over the eunuch. The lieutenant governor was accompanied by Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton, as well as U.S. Forest Service Regional Forester Beth Pendleton and Tongass Forest Supervisor Earl Stewart. Malott says it was important for him to see the eunuch, one of the transboundary rivers that flows from British Columbia into Alaska. Those rivers are a subject of concern because of Canadian mining activity.
And the Eunuch River is a river that, the one transboundary river that I had not been on, and Commissioner Cotton had not visited before. And we think it's important to see those places to have a sense of the reality.
Another reason to visit the eunuch was to strengthen the state's relationship with the U.S. Forest Service and, Cotton says, to underscore Alaska's continued interest in the health of its rivers and ocean.
Yeah, Lieutenant Governor Malott's taken the lead on this initiative to address the many concerns we hear about what would happen if something went wrong with a Canadian mine on a river that dumps into Alaska. And one of the primary fears we hear from folks is what would that mean to fishing and fish. So we're very interested in that.
The Carr Sulfurets Mitchell, or KSM, gold mine on the Eunuch River has not started production yet, but there has been exploratory work. There was a change in the national government of Canada since Alaska started transboundary talks with British Columbia, but Malott says that hasn't really affected Alaska's negotiations with the provincial government, at least not yet. Malott says he talked with Canada's National Environment and Climate Change Minister, and she told him,
"The national government of Canada was going to be looking at their national environmental processes with an eye towards strengthening them."
That could affect how proposed mines are handled in the future. Malott says officials in Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's administration also have indicated they want to work more cooperatively with Canada's First Nations. That could go either way with mines, because some tribes support mining ventures for the economic benefits. Others oppose them out of concern for the environmental impacts. As the national Canadian government figures that out, though, Alaska and British Columbia are continuing work on their statement of cooperation. Malott says they're exchanging drafts and are close to finalizing and signing the document. It doesn't give Alaska any veto power over mines. That would require a treaty between the two federal governments. But, he says, it creates a framework to meet regularly and talk about concerns.
It's us engaging with them in a structured way as they move ahead with their various mining permitting processes. And so this document or this agreement will spell out how that working relationship takes place. It will identify areas of particular interest on our part.
And he says it will emphasize the need for transparency. Malott says he enjoyed his visit to Hyder, a small community on the mainland, just a short drive from the Canadian border. It's also the home of the Forest Service-run Fish Creek Bear Viewing Facility.
I had never been to Hyder, and, you know, born and raised in Alaska, it's a southeastern community. I'm southeastern, and to be able to check that box, although it's more than checking a box, it's a beautiful little place, incredibly beautiful area.
Malott took some time to address Alaska's fiscal woes. He says it was disappointing that the legislature did not come up with a way to create more revenue for the state, choosing instead to pay for government through savings. Malott says that's why Governor Bill Walker vetoed more than $1 billion.
He was forced to do what he did because there was no fiscal plan to even get us to the next session of the legislature and the next budget without burning through more savings, several billions.
Malott responded to lawmakers who have said Alaska still has a spending problem even after significant cuts to the state budget over the past 2 years.
I think they're wrong. I think they are tragically wrong, because the level of services that Alaska provides to its residents across the state have been significantly reduced.
Malott pointed to cuts to education, public safety, and infrastructure, all areas he says the state needs to maintain in order to attract new business to Alaska. Cotton noted cuts to his own department and says if his budget drops much more, they'll have to reduce, for example, aerial surveys for fisheries. That would force more conservative estimates in order to ensure healthy stocks.
We're getting to where it's going to hurt the fishing businesses. And it's not just the fishermen, it's all the other associated support industries and local economies. So it isn't something we're taking lightly. It's a very serious situation. The legislature, yeah, they have a tough job, but they have to step up and accept their responsibility.
Cotton of Eagle River is a former speaker of the State House. The legislature doesn't have any additional special sessions scheduled before the upcoming election. The next session starts January 17th. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.